So what we've just written down then on our sheet of paper is the matter of a next identifiable action. And congratulations, because you've just done that. You've taken a matter which was on your to-do list, you've given some thought to it, and you've now learned how to, in fact, identify that as an action item. Now, let me just see what's causing that problem. I think it might be... that there. So what we did is we got to the stage of next action, you remember, and we went through this process as we've just done it, to write down a project, to visualise the outcome, to write down the next physical action required to move that matter forward towards completion, and we made the point that there's a huge difference between next actions and old-fashioned to-do lists. So if you're writing to-do lists, don't stop, but I want you to rename them when you get home. Rename them next action lists, because what that will make you do is remember this little dictum, that as you write something down, you need to be clear first of all, is this really the next identifiable action? If it's not, it'll probably sit there. You know, they've transformed entire corporations by training their staff to learn just that one single idea. That the whole of the staff have been trained to think, with all their paper processing flows, what's the next identifiable action for this particular piece of paper or this particular problem. And the productivity in those companies has absolutely skyrocketed when all the staff have been trained to learn just that one key principle. So I think it's a really good idea. Really helpful idea. So moving on from that then, we come to the idea of next actions. Now, what I've done here is put down some of the typical next actions that an office might have, but you're going to have to think what your next action lists might be for yourself. And in a moment, I'll suggest to you how best you might do that, whether it's in an office or in a home environment. But a typical set of next action lists might be, well, there's phone calls to make. And the idea of having those on a separate list is that whenever you've got a moment of time, one of the benefits of having these all written out on lists is that you can match the time resources that you've got with the facilities you have and the energy that you've got in order to do the right thing at the right time. Say, for example, someone was stranded at an airport with a delayed flight, there's nothing much they can do, apart from use a phone. But if they've got a phone call list of all the people they've got a phone on any different subject and it's all in the one place, they can pull the list out and they can spend half an hour doing phone calls to actually tick those things off because they were all things to do. Phone Bob, phone Sandra, phone Beverly, phone June, phone... and it's all done because it's on the list, you see. So a calling list is quite a good idea. Phone calls that you've got to make. That works at home, I think, just as well as at the office. Another one is to say, well, is it at the office? If it's an office item, well, you need a list or a file for next actions that relate just to the matter of the office. Perhaps that's especially helpful if someone's running an office or a business from home. So they've got a home and a home office. And of course, if you're going to run a business from home, you really do need to have a place that's dedicated as the business. It's got its own standalone sort of system, as it were, and it's got its own list of things. There might be a very good reason for having a next action list which is to do with errands. I have one of these and I consult it every day so that when I'm driving, I can look at the errand list and say, oh, that's right, I've got to pop into that shop on the way home because there were three things on my errand list and two of them are nearby in terms of shops that I could pop into. But if I didn't have those identified in the one spot under errands, I'll probably forget to go to the shop, won't I, till I get back. I suppose the same thing might apply to a shopping list. Isn't it funny how that, you know, men are particularly good at this, you know. The mother of the family will send the father of the house out to buy bread and milk. And father will go to the shopping mall, and after having had a coffee, he'll wander into the main shop. And what he'll come home with is jellied eels and oysters and a special deal on chocolate, and he's completely forgotten about the bread and the milk. Because he didn't have it written down, you see. But even sisters can go shopping and come home with a whole list of things. And the funny thing is that the one thing they didn't get was the thing they'd gone for in the first place. Strange, isn't it, you see? Because our minds aren't very good at running to-do lists. So I would think that even a shopping list is a good next action list to have. It makes for efficiency. You pick it up, you take off out the door, and don't worry, you've got it all under control. It's all there. Now, some people are so efficient that they can do without that, but I think there are a number of sisters who would find that helpful. So is it something at office? Is it something at home? If it's an item for home, there might be a next action list just for that. From a business perspective, there's also quite a good argument that could be made for having two sections called at computer online and at computer offline. And why that's helpful is that if you're sitting on a plane for a five-hour trip, there's lots of things you could do on a computer, but it can't be online. But if you've got a list of what you could do offline, you say, oh, that's right, I've got to type up those notes, or I've got to type up that report, and I need to actually do this document, so I could type away quite happily for a while because I've got a list of things to do at my computer when it's offline, whenever I've got the time or the opportunity to do so. There's another argument that says it's a good place to have a next action list is for agendas. And lastly, a read review list. Now, those are just some suggestions, and they're more related perhaps to a business environment. So this is how I believe that you can discover for yourself whether you're using this for university, for business, for a home business, for ecclesial work, or for just running the household. This is how I would figure out how to build your next action items or next action lists. What lists do you need to customise this idea for yourself? Well, it's quite simple, really. You go to the desk that's got that interesting pile of stuff on it, and you actually start to process the pieces of paper. And as you process them, you say, okay, what's this? That's really something, and you put that on the carpet over there. And then you come across another piece of paper and say, well, really, that's another one of those. So now there's two things on that pile. Then three, then four, then five, then six, then seven. Then another piece of paper there, then five there, then two there, then ten there. And you suddenly think the one with seven, the pile with five, and the pile with ten, they're likely to be next action lists for you because you've got lots of stuff in those areas. So the next action lists will tend to be generated off how the pile of paper disappears onto the carpet. If you were going to create imaginary piles, how do the piles grow? And that will almost infallibly tell you what your next action lists ought to be, because that's where the bulk of your paper is flowing. It's how your paper flows into those piles, you see. So you've got to customise this to make it work in a relevant way for your particular needs. But what I can promise you is that once you've done that, it works extremely well because you just go to them. And that's where I would have another one of those little boxes sitting on the office desk, you see. So one is the tickler file, remember, with the days of the month and the months of the year. Now, a sister made a very good suggestion to me over the lunch break. Missy mentioned to me that some sisters are quite keen on sending cards to people on birthdays or special things. So a tickler file would be a really good thing. You could buy a whole bunch of cards at the right price and have them all slotted in. Where would you put them in? Because you wouldn't put them in for the day of their birthday. You'd put them in for all 5 days before, so you can post it on time. And they all pop out on the very day you need to finish it off and post it, you see. So you could be quite organised using a tickler file if you're a sister that likes to send remembrance cards or notes to people. You could use this system for that sort of thing. You see, you can customise it. That's the whole point. You customise it for what you need in your life or in the work of the truth that you're involved in. You'll make this special in your own capacity. Now, I lost track of what I was going to say there because I digressed onto the birthday cards. It'll come back to me in due course. So one of the benefits of these next action lists is that they focus your work into identifiable streams of activity, as it were, and you can now get to one of those at any point of time that you need to in the course of the day. So let's come back to that idea. So what we've got is this. So if you like, what's the next action? We looked at that. But there's one other part to this little puzzle that we need to finish in order for this chart to be complete. You'll notice there's a bit of a gap here. And we've come right round the story, but there is a possibility of having a next action where, to be honest, it is the next action, but it's not going to finish the thing. So if it's going to take more than two steps to finish, it's now a project. So now you have a file for projects. Now you might have lots of projects. There's nothing wrong with that. You might have 20 projects. You might have five. But a project is anything that's got more than one step in order to bring it to completion. In fact, lots of things in our life will be projects. And the reason why you need to have a project file for that, and that's where this other tickler box comes into play that's sitting on the office, so now I'm back on track here, is the in that other little box, you can have your next action lists and files, so you can whip them out quickly, but you also have the project files, which are all the main things that you're currently working on as projects in your life. And they sit there so that they're quickly and easily retrievable. Now, the thing with a project is that, in fact, it might be something that takes 10 steps. So what you've done is on your next action list down here, you've written the next step, but it's a step on a project. And when that action is finished, or when that particular action step is finished, what are we going to do? We're going to say, that's great, we've ticked that off, so now what's the next action? And in fact, for a project, we're going to go round and round and round and round that project file until finally we come to the very last action step, and we say that project's completed. Marvellous. Now it's going to go into filing. Pull, file, shut. Projects become a file. Now, why you need to keep track of projects, well, I'll come to that in a minute, but you need to have all those handy because you're going to be using those, referring those, actioning those all the time until they're completed. But this is a helpful way of not just having them on a next action list here. They've got to have their own sort of project file in their own right. Now, it's wonderful to have this system, but what I can tell you is that having set it up, you come off the rails very quickly. You set it up with a hiss and a roar. You have one magnificent weekend, which you devote utterly to cleaning out and purging your system. You've cleaned out the office. You've cleaned out your mind. Everything is wonderful. Everything's written on these incredible lists. You've got a brand shiny new filing cabinet, crisp new manila folders, a labeler, and it's all go. And for a week, marvellous. And then all of a sudden, things go wrong. Family crises, ecclesial problems, a whole pile of activities, a special effort, you know, fraternals, all sorts of stuff suddenly starts to happen. And next minute, you're off the rails, and you look at your desk, and it looks suspiciously like it looked about a month ago. We're back to a little pile, incrementally creeping up again. Beware the triumph of gradualism. And so there's a key. One of the keys to this system is what's called the weekly review. And I think this is a discipline that most families and most households, in fact, everyone that's using this type of system ought to have. By the way, I just hasten to say that this is only one of several systems of organisation. I've found this a good one because I think it thinks through all the issues. And I like it because it adjusts to all the realities of daily life. You know, the old time management system used to take a list of things and say, let's categorise it all, A1, A2, A3, B1, B2, B3, C2, and you'd have sort of like a code for all the things to determine their priority. The only trouble with those sorts of things is that having carefully coded all your list, you'd start on A1, and then the phone would ring, and it would be an emergency from someone who was actually at the moment C2 on your list, and suddenly C2's become A1, and now you've got to rewrite the whole list again, and it doesn't work. So the beauty of this is that all of these lists exist, and when you can get to them, you'll cross things off. But if you can't get to them, don't worry. What I can promise you is the list will still be there tomorrow, safe and sound. And remember, you haven't had to click and drag anything across from the previous day and tell yourself that you're failing to accomplish things. It's all just sitting there as you can cross them off. So what the weekly review does is force you into the discipline of bringing yourself back under control on a weekly basis. Now, the time I have for this on my schedule, on my calendar, is 4 o'clock on Fridays. 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. I actually devote 2 hours to this. And there's a very good reason why we do this. Let me go through, first of all, what happens on the weekly review, and then we can talk about the matter of why it should happen perhaps at that time. So we collect all loose papers, we move all cards, receipts and documents, everything that's accumulated over the course of the week, and we put it into the in basket because we're going to process it. Now remember, processing doesn't mean we're actually going to do all the items. It simply means we're going to process them through the system. We're going to allocate action items, reference notes, calendar events. We're going to empty our head. We're going to put any new ideas into writing, any projects, any ideas not yet captured. That's why, by the way, it's a really good idea to have separate sheets of paper for those ideas that come into the head, because that separate sheet of paper may end up as a project that needs its own little file. Or it may turn up as an item on an action list, a next action list, if you've decided that that's where it belongs. You're going to review previous calendar data. So you're going to go over the calendar of the week right through to that Friday and say, is everything done? Is there anything I do need to move from this week's calendar that didn't get done? Now, the wonderful thing about this is it doesn't matter whether you're using an electronic calendar or an ordinary diary system. You can do this either way, can't you? You can just scan back over the last week and say, is there anything not done on this week that needs to be moved across? And you do that right now. Before the week's come to an end, you've moved across any unresolved or unfinished things so that now that week can be archived, which I guess is a mental way of saying it's gone. The week's gone. Whatever's been done has been done. Whatever hasn't been done has been moved to the future. We've got to review the upcoming calendar and capture any potential items that might need to turn up on that calendar. We're going to review all projects. So once a week we go through our little box and we go through every project and we just look at the project and say, what's the current status of this project? What's the goal? What's the outcomes? And have I got one next action in my system for that project for this coming week? Because that's how projects get moved along, by the way, one step at a time. You know, there's a book about this. The sort of fundamental book behind this is a book called Getting Things Done by David Allen, who actually lives in California here. And one of the things he's got in the book is a little section called, which I quite liked actually, it was called Why Bright People Procrastinate the Most. And I thought, I really like that. And you know what he says? Guess why bright people procrastinate the most? Because what happens is, bright people think, okay, I've got to do this. Oh, but before I do that, it would be really nice to have sketched out that whole concept as a mind map. But to do that, I need to have a meeting with Bob, because we were going to set the parameters of what the protocol should be in order for that project to really take place properly. And I haven't thought about the resource document that we'll need to actually resource that. I'll do this later. And you think too far ahead. You think too big picture. So what happens with projects is it a project? Set up a project file, put it in the box, pull out the file once a week and say, I know this project's going to take a while, but what's the next action? I've just ticked one off that's happened. That's great. Now what's the next step? Don't think any further. No further, just the next step. Good. Got it on your action list? Great. Put the file back. And that works. In that sense, you've got to limit your thinking to just the next action. But surprisingly, projects move forward as a result of that. You know what they say is that for most things in our life, we greatly overestimate what we can accomplish in 12 months. And we greatly underestimate what we can accomplish in 5 years. Useful to remember. We've got to mark off completed items on our next action list and review them for reminders of further action steps to capture. Now, again, the beauty of this is it doesn't matter whether your whole system in running this is physical or electronic. By the way, I run an electronic system for all of these next action lists, and the reason is because I just find electronic an awful lot easier to control. Because with next action lists written out by hand, I'm writing and rewriting and writing and rewriting and rewriting and rewriting all the time, and it gets a little bit too time-consuming. I can manage it much quicker from an electronic perspective. So I'm not asking you to do that. I'm simply saying that you've got to weigh up for yourself what's the best way forward here. You need to review your waiting for list. So remember, what's the waiting for list? That's one of the folders in our box. Waiting on things that were supposed to come back from other people. Once a week, you pull that folder and think, Bob's never called me. Sandra's never come back. I bet to call. And the marvellous thing is that because you put that down, the moment you delegated, you put it on the waiting on others list. Has she come back? 5 days later, it pops up again. So it might be in a waiting on others file, reviewed once a week, or it might be in your tickler file to come up in a fortnight if you thought that was okay. But you see, the really good thing about this is it'll come up somewhere if you've created a waiting for list. You need to review any relevant checklists. Look, this is another whole story. I'd love to give you a whole study on checklists. In fact, I'm just about to build a seminar on that called How to Checklist Your Way to Excellence. And it's based on the same idea, is that many, many things in life we would do so much better, even the ordinary everyday things, if we just constructed a simple checklist. We do them efficiently and well because we've got a checklist. You know, that's another story. I shan't digress. That's for another Daughters of Sarah. We've got to review our someday maybe list, because what happens is one of the files that we've got in our main filing system called someday maybe, they're all in the files there, but there's a someday list somewhere. One day, one of the somedays turns into a project. And suddenly it's got to come out of the someday list, get its own project file, and get into the main box because it's become a project in its own right that's active right now. And the beauty of this is, well, you can do that by having a review once a week of your someday list. You need to review your support files. And lastly, you need to be creative and courageous. Are there any new, wonderful, creative, thought-provoking, risk-taking ideas that you can add to your system just to make life even busier than what it already is? My electronic system gives the same pleasure as a normal system, and that's this. Hands up those that have ever had a to-do list or a next action list, whether electronic or written. So have you ever felt that pleasure of going like that? Or like that? Or going like this? Now, hands up, this is a confession time. Have you ever done something that wasn't on your list and gone back and written it on your list so that you could cross it off? Amazing, isn't it? There is some really powerful pleasure that accrues from crossing off an item on a list. And I've done that. I've gone back and thought, well, I didn't have that on my list. I'll do that even though I've done it, so I can have that pleasure. So one of the good things about this is that you do feel a sense of accomplishment as you're doing these things. And the thing I like about this is it's related to what we were talking about this morning. If we're going to be serious about the truth, if we're going to have goals, if we're going to have role models, if we're going to be inspired to greater things in the truth service, we've got to become efficient, don't we? That's why this is so important. Our productivity's got to get better. And so even the mundane things of life need to be organised as well as we can so that we can tick them off just as fast as we can so we can get on with the really important stuff of, well, what was rocks in the jar? We want to have more time for the rocks, don't we? We'll create that time by becoming more productive with the mundane things of life and achieving excellence simply by having a mousetrap that works. Irreducible complexity. Simple as it can be, complex as it must be, in order to function as a complete system. And so there you have it, you see. That's the whole system. Now, the good thing about this is these are the critical boxes. A trash box, a someday tickler file, a hold for future review file, a reference filing system, next action lists, calendar, waiting on others lists, and a project file. Now, the good thing about that whole system, if I can call it that, is first of all, it's a philosophy. Now, what I mean by philosophy is it's not linked to any particular diary system or any particular electronic formula. You can run this on Microsoft, you can run it on Apple, you can run it on Lotus Notes, you can run it on any planning system you like. In fact, Getting Things Done, the acronym is GTD, has spawned a whole cascade of software programs all based on the GTD model. There's a whole bunch of them out there. So in fact, a lot of them you can download for free and play around with them for a week to see whether you like it and whether it works for you. So you can do this sort of thing. So that's what I did, actually. I ended up buying a very elegant little program called Things. Getting Things Done. So this software program is called Things. But the reason why I like it is it was designed by Germans. So it was a little group of German software programmers, and they build these things like Mercedes. So it works. The doors clunk just nicely, like you'd expect a Mercedes door to clunk. It doesn't break down, it doesn't fall. Now, it's not perfect. It's got some tweaks needed, and I've found another place and another program that helps you to tweak this to make it even better, but you grow as you go along. But for me, anyway, I find that it works very well. Now, here's the benefit of this system. This is so good that what I can promise you is if you use this system properly, you will not drop any balls in your life. The critical key to this system is it's good enough to capture everything somewhere. Everything's caught. The only reason you'll drop a ball is because you didn't use the system. So that's why I use it. Because why? Because finally, I can trust the thing enough to dump it out of my mind. And I trust the system implicitly now. And in fact, what I do, in terms of that weekly review system, is when I get to that stage, my Things program calls up everything that's been bottling up from the last few days that hasn't been done, plus everything that was scheduled for today. And I might start off with 50 items to do for that next day. But then I whittle them down and I say, right, let's get this down to a manageable level of what I really think that I can do. And the wonderful thing about that is I look at intuitively at the whole thing and I can prioritise pretty much what I think that I can sensibly do in that next 24 hours. And I get it down to a list that I think is manageable and accomplishable. So the weekly review, why on Fridays? Any thoughts? Why Fridays? Because what it does is it actually clears the mind before the weekend. Everything's done. Everything's back under control. Everything's been reviewed. Everything's been checked. Everything's been crossed off. The diary's up to date. All the bills and pieces of paper and receipts and bits and pieces are all gone. And you have a much better weekend. Otherwise, you'll spend the whole weekend thinking, oh, and you'll waste the weekend doing that sort of stuff. And so there's a benefit here to clearing the mind before the weekend begins and the next week starts to unfold and you're back in control. Now, remember what I said, that doesn't mean to say you're not busy. I'm busy. With 200 items and more on my action list, I regard myself as a reasonably busy person. But I know exactly where all those items are. I'm not dropping the balls and I'll get to everything when I can, based on the available time and resources and energy. So the wonderful thing about these lists is this. If you've got on the calendar, come back to it, what did I suggest that you put on your calendar? Only two things. What were they? Yeah? So the two things, the only things you put on the on your calendar for the day are something that must happen at 9 o'clock or 12 o'clock, a booking or appointment or in a meeting, or something that's got to happen during that day at some stage. Now, here's the benefit of that. You see, if you've got something at 9 o'clock, you've got a booking, and you've got something at 11:30, you've got a booking, and you've got something at 3, you've got to pick up the children at 3. Now you know that you've got a block of time from 10 o'clock through to 11:30, that's an hour and a half, and from, let's say, 12 through to 3 o'clock, you've got blocks of time here. And so now you can look at your list, and you can say, what can I do in that block of time? And one of the things on my particular program is I also estimate the time for every one of those things. How long will it take me to do? So now if I've got a block of an hour and a half of empty time on my calendar for that day, I can scan down my list of things to do. And the beautiful thing about an electronic system is I can have all these different next action categories, but I can go click, blink, and now they're all rescheduled into one. Just one list for today. And then I can scan down the time. I know that those four things have got to be done. Click online. I'm home. I'm online. I've got an hour and a half. And there's a project there that's going to take an hour online. Great. Let's do that. So I can make a decision very quickly as to how best to utilise that time based on where I am, what my energy is, what resources I've got. I can efficiently use that time block. For me, that works. So this system captures everything into a bucket somewhere in an entirely trustworthy way. Mind you, you've got to be careful, because having got that set up, you've got to do this. You've got to keep hard edges. Now, what we mean by hard edges is you can't start to blur the boundaries between these buckets. The moment you start to blur the boundaries, you start to destabilize the system. So let me just give you some explanations of that. It's pretty obvious, really, but it's useful to mention. You've got to keep all collection categories absolutely discrete. Something that should be on your someday file, don't put it in your reference system. It's gone into the wrong place. Something that should be in a project, there's no point having it on a someday file, because it doesn't belong there. It's not a project yet. Don't put reference material in your reading file. Don't put specific calendar items on your next action list, because you'll go nuts. Don't put a someday item list on your current project list, because you'll keep on reviewing it as a current project, and it isn't one, it's a someday thing that's still a dream in the future. What are you wasting your time reviewing it for? It doesn't belong yet. Don't put a waiting for item on your next action list, because you'll keep on reviewing that item every day, when in fact it should be coming up in 2 weeks' time when you really wanted to review that person and go back on that particular matter. So you've got to keep the boundaries tight. The edge is hard. So if you use the system properly, it all falls into place and it works. Like any system, it works as well as we use it. But what I've found is that for me, that has helped me to come from a state of mild perpetual panic to being aware of busyness, but feeling in control. It's quite a different state. It's a very important state. I think perhaps even for brothers and sisters in the truth, that's a good state to get to. I'm busy, but I'm in control. Lots of things I've got to do, but I know where they all are, and I will marshal my resources as efficiently as I can now to get those items captured and done. So there it is, in its totality. That's a suggested system for improving productivity. And as I said, it doesn't matter whether it's electronic or paper. By the way, I think it's both. For me, it's both. I've got everything electronic, but that doesn't seem to stop the paper war. You've still got to have files and systems and reference cabinets for all the paper stuff as well, even though you might have an electronic record of your next action items. There's going to be paperwork as well. So I think that's the conclusion of that particular session. So we'll close off at that point and have a break of 10 minutes. So what we're going to talk about now for a few moments then is just a few time management sort of tricks that go with this matter of productivity. So the matter of how to manage time itself. And I think there are some rules that go with this. The first is to always use these action lists to schedule your tasks. They're really a form of checklists. And remember I mentioned earlier is that I think checklists are very good because, do you know why pilots always do a checklist before they fly? Because number one, they really do want to get you safely down to the other end. And they use a checklist because even when they've flown 1,000 flights, they can sometimes forget things. So in fact, the benefit of a checklist is it systematizes stuff that you ought to know, but surprisingly you will forget, even when you've done it lots of times. So I think that even household routines, maybe even some ecclesial matters, ought best to be covered by means of a checklist. Do you know, in the medical fraternity, there's a very good book written by it's by a chap called Atul Gawande, and he is a Harvard. It's close enough. Do you think she's close enough? I think she's close enough. Anyway, he's part of the medical fraternity there, and he wrote a book called The Checklist Manifesto. And he's talking about how checklists, in fact, liberate us. They liberate us, because when under stress, when under crisis, a checklist enables us to do things properly, which otherwise we might have forgotten. And one of the little stories he tells, which is a true one, is, it goes into the area of Detroit, into Michigan, actually. They went into Michigan, and they decided to put a checklist in for this matter of putting lines into people in hospital, you know, lines for a drip, lines for certain nutrients, so putting lines into people in intensive care. And one of the problems with putting lines in is you get infection in the lines because there are systems to observe and sometimes they're missed, even by doctors that have done them 100 times before. So they devised a checklist for putting lines in correctly, and they empowered all the nursing staff that if that checklist wasn't followed, they could step in and stop the doctor from performing an operation if that procedure, if that checklist hadn't been ticked off properly. They did that for a year. The medical fraternity were very doubtful. A lot of the doctors were strongly opposed. They did it in the Michigan system. It would be, now that would be the, what's the name of the hospital system over there? Is it Sinai Grace, yeah, so they would have done it in that particular collection of hospitals and elsewhere. Do you know what happened after 12 months? Here's the really interesting thing. One simple checklist in a set of hospitals in Michigan about putting lines properly into people. They saved $175 million. And much more importantly, they saved 1,500 lives that would otherwise have died, all because of a simple checklist. They're very powerful. Even in the ordinary things of life, I think checklists are really helpful. So, checklists, an action list, in a sense, is part of our checklist. So that's just another thing for you to think about. You need to review your action list for the next day before you finish work. There's another good book which I've just read about time and productivity that's called Do It Tomorrow, which sounds like putting things off, but what he's really saying is every day should be planned so well that when you start tomorrow, you know exactly what you're going to do, you've got all the resources available for it, you've measured out the time, and you know what's going to happen, and you'll have a productive day because you've figured it out all out the day before. Review your action list for the next day before you finish work is quite a good thing to do. I think we should do this even in households. What am I going to do tomorrow? And if I got everything ready for that to happen. Write down every single thing you plan to do during the day and estimate its time requirement. You know why that's helpful? Is sometimes I look at a day's list of things to do and I add up the time estimate, think, that's interesting, 17 hours. This could be a tad tricky today. Clearly, I'm not possibly going to get all those things done. So I can do one of two things. I can either leave it the way it is, in which case I don't accomplish everything on the list, or I can start by saying, let's bring that down right from the start to a sensible day's level of activity, which will make me feel a lot better, won't it, if I've clicked everything off at the end of the day, you see. So, next thing, learn to differentiate between urgent and important. Some of you will have heard of the Covey four quadrants. Anyone know what they are? What are the four Covey quadrants? Four Covey quadrants are, in terms of work, I can always forget what they are, but this is urgent, this is important, this is not urgent and not important, this is important but not urgent. Is that right? This is important. No, I've got something wrong there somewhere. There should be sort of like two parts to the grid here. So how would we do that if we came down the axes? So what would this axis be? If this axis is important, and this axis is urgent, then we must have that's urgent. And what's this one here? This is urgent and important. This is important but not urgent. And what's this one here? That's the same as that one. Anyway, look, whatever it is. The main thing about the quadrants is that a lot of people spend time in what's called quadrant one because urgent stuff is things that are happening all the time. I've got to do this. I've got to answer this. I've got to respond to this, you know, to this crisis. And so people put out bushfires all the time. But what they never stop to think about is that, in fact, if they said, why does this problem keep on coming up? And the answer is because we haven't devised a system or a checklist or a process to make sure that it doesn't happen this way. But that's something that's important but not urgent. But if you got to that quadrant, which is called quadrant two, and spend a lot more time in quadrant two doing things that weren't urgent but were important, suddenly a lot less stuff happens here. Not so many bushfires occur. And what happens is finally, if people spend so much time here in urgent and then they burn out and they go into what's called not urgent and not important, and they run around the office with a piece of paper that actually is completely useless because they can't cope with anything. So they do crossword puzzles or solitaire on their computer or something because they can't cope. So in fact, we do have to say, now, is this urgent or is it important? And our focus ought to be to try and focus on important things, because the more important things we can do, funnily enough, the smaller our urgent list will become over time. Some people are doing urgent stuff that was urgent 10 years ago in their life, and it's still urgent because they never got into the important quadrant to figure out how to stop it being urgent. We need to decide on the one item that will have the greatest consequence. It's a good thinking process. So here's my list of things to do. So what one item on that list will have the greatest consequence if I move it forward? So let's try and do that one then, shall we? Does that make good sense in terms of the use of my time? Ask what will be the most valuable use of my time right now. And I think that's the key, you see, is this enables us to say, look, we don't have endless time. But the strange thing is, there's enough time to do what's really needed. But you've got to figure out how to do that properly. So just two or three other things with regard to that. You need to use the Pareto principle to determine the relative importance of an item. Now, has anyone heard of Pareto's law? Pareto was an Italian mathematician who came up with the rule that we know as the 80-20 rule. And the 80-20 rule is that basically 80% of the results come from 20% of the inputs, which conversely means, unfortunately, that 20% of the results come from 80% of the inputs. So if I was to look at my client base, if I've got a business and I look at clients who all pay me money, I'll find that probably 20% of my clients pay me 80% of my revenue, which means that 80% of my clients pay me combined only 20% of my revenue. So why would I want to spend time with the 80% that pay only 20% of my revenue? Wouldn't I be better trying to get more of the clients that pay 80% of my revenue? So it's all to do with productive use of time, you see. The 80-20 rule. Now, it shouldn't happen this way in the truth, but, you know, I think that happens even in the truth. I believe that in most ecclesias, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the brothers and sisters. My experience is that that's common all over the ecclesial world. It should not be the case, but it is. And most often, those brothers and sisters are the busiest people, not just in the ecclesia, but in lots of other things. They've got their fingers in all sorts of pies, but somehow they get it all done. They're not just active in the ecclesia, they're involved in the Heritage College. They're not just involved in the Heritage College, they're involved in the Bible School. They're not just involved in the Bible School, they're involved in setting up ecclesial fraternals. They do everything, somehow. 20% of the brothers and sisters do 80% of the work in most ecclesias. And maybe one of the reasons why they do is because they're better organized people. But remember this, they didn't actually start with any more than the same 24 hours that every other brother and sister started the day with. They just used it better. Don't you think that's something that brothers and sisters ought to do in the truth, is to use our time wisely, to be productive as we possibly can? And once you've decided on the 20% of the tasks that are going to be really important, to produce 80% of the results, then you figure out how to creatively procrastinate on the 80% of the things that aren't going to actually achieve much at all. And what I'm really suggesting is that that's a good thing to do. Procrastinate on the 80% of the things that are on your list that are going to actually produce about 20% of the results. Because frankly, you haven't got time. You know, one of the interesting things when I bought this program, which I'll show you in a minute, is I started off with about 200 items, and as I said, a year later I've got 200 items. So it doesn't actually shrink what you've got to do. And so we tend to be busy people, and therefore I can't do 200 items. Think about this. If 200 items are on my list, let's say that they represent an average of an hour per item. How many hours is that? 200 hours. How many weeks is that going to take me to get through my list if I stop right now? Not one single further additional task added to my life. Stop. On hold. How long is it going to take me just to finish off the list I've got right there? 5 weeks? Wow, 40-hour weeks. Okay, so 5 weeks at 40 hours. But in fact, you won't do all of that, you know, because of other interruptions. You don't have 40 hours of uninhibited work. Lots of other things happen in the course of the week. So it's going to be 5 weeks or more. If I didn't do one single additional thing, I've got 5 weeks stretching ahead of me of solid, non-stoppable work. So I can't get everything done, can I? So I've got to learn to procrastinate on some stuff. So do you. Learn from your true priorities how to set posteriorities. Do you know what a posteriority is? Saying no. Now, why I like having action lists with time estimates is for the first time possibly in my life, I can look at my list and say, 200 hours, and a brother comes to me and says, I'd love you to assist in this project. It's going to take about 20 hours of your time inputs to help with this. No. I'd love to. 10 years ago, I would have said yes and added 20 hours to the list because I didn't have a list, and I didn't realise what that implied when I said yes. Now I do. And I realise that, in fact, I'm not doing him or me or my existing work schedule a favour by adding another 20 hours of something, which I already don't have time to do. I would be better to try and focus on the things I've already made a commitment for and within my life to do them properly, wouldn't I? What you have to realise is that every action on your action list is an agreement you've made with yourself. If you don't do those things, you're not going to feel very good about the agreements you've made with yourself to achieve them. Is that the evening bell, is it?
Yeah, we're good though for another 15 minutes.
Okay. Don't clear up small things first. Despite the two-minute rule, make the rule worst first. So when you start the day, if you've got a really big project that looks nasty, do that first. Do you know why? Because firstly, when you do, you suddenly think, 10 minutes into, you think, oh, this is not too bad. This is not as bad as I thought. It's always not as bad as you thought. But the real benefit comes at the end when you go, shoo, and you have this burst of adrenaline that suddenly means you race through the next five things because you were so excited that you actually got that big thing off the list. It's productive to do that. And you get this burst of energy that goes with that. But if you put it off and put it off and put it off, it'll be probably the thing that's still sitting at the end of the day, and actually it was the thing that needed to be done first. So use single handling until the current task is 100% complete. Are you one of those people that says, okay, I must have a look at this. Bing, oh, someone sent me an email. What's that about? Oh, I must just read that. Oh, there's an interesting click there. Click onto this other site. Wow, that's interesting. I never knew that. Oh, sorry, I better get up onto the phone call. Hello, how are you? That's right now. What was this? Do you do that? Single handling. Pick up a piece of paper. Don't do anything else. Don't ever have a computer that goes ping. Switch the ping off. In fact, what I haven't quite got there, but what I'm trying to get to in my life, I run a busy life, and by the way, I run my own business as well, is I'm trying to get to that stage where I answer emails once a day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't look at them in the morning. You know why? Because I'll respond to them. It's almost instinctive, isn't it? In the good old days, if you can be this far back in time, which probably most of you aren't, but in my day, and Uncle Tom's day, You used to go out to the mailbox once a day to collect your mail. It was great. It was like an event. There was interesting things there. It was a letter from Brother so-and-so and something for one of your sons. Who's that from? And mailboxes were special. But you only went to the mailbox once a day, didn't you? But people don't go to their email box once a day. They go and they go and they go and they go and they go. And it becomes terribly wasteful in terms of productivity. So I'm trying to get back to once a day. And it doesn't matter, I suppose, whether it's 11 in the morning. But I reckon 4 in the afternoon's really good. Because if people actually are really wanting to get me to do things, I'm going to get them into the habit of saying, well, don't expect instant responses. In fact, I know someone that actually has that as a permanent response on their email system that says, I'm involved in a number of significant projects right now, and as a result, I've decided to not attend to my email until 4 in the afternoon. So if you need something urgently, please feel free to call me, but otherwise, I won't be at least looking at it till that time of the day. Thank you very much. I look forward to getting back to you as soon as I can. Of course, the other benefit of doing that is when you get to 4 o'clock, you think, right, it's tea at 6, I'm going for it. And you batch up your emails, you focus on it, and you go, boof, and you hit them in one session. And you batch up that process in one day. You'd get through a far more sets of email responses than by doing it throughout the course of the day. Launch directly into the major task first thing every morning and get it done. As items are completed, tick them off for a sense of accomplishment. Well, let me just see if I've got 5 minutes to squeeze into having a look at this computer system, if I can call it up on the screen. So here we go. So just a couple of things. Firstly, you remember I mentioned that in terms of my system, if I can call it that, so here's my main files. So I've got across here, as you can see, financial, commercial, creative, cultural, community, ecclesial, family relations, and personal projects. So these are all those files that relate to the main sort of parts of my life, and all my documents disappear into those systems. But when I come to my calendar, the same thing happens. So if I go into iCal, do you see down here, financial, commercial, creative, cultural, communal, ecclesial, family relationships, personal projects. And so now I've got everything that needs to happen in those different parts of my life coded in a set of calendars. Well, you can do this on iCal because that's Apple, you see. Apple's clever. Apple's clever stuff. So what that enables me to do is to take parts of my life off or put parts of my life on. So I can actually delete all the stuff or add all the stuff. So if I just want to know, for example, what I've got on in terms of ecclesial responsibilities, I can scroll through the I can scroll through the weeks going backwards and say, well, these are the blue things, are things that I've got to do in terms of talks or studies. That looks like Silver Star Bible School going back to the 16th of August, and that's the studies that are happening during the course of those days. But that's just one layer of my life. But I can add all the layers if I want to, you see. So by adding the layers, I then get a bit of a knowledge of what's happening, because, of course, I can't book anything without knowing all the layers. So not only does my filing system follow that, but my calendar follows that sequence as well. And then when it comes to this whole process of GTD, well, I use this program called Things, which turns up here. So it's going to open, hopefully. And surprise, surprise, if I come down here, I've got communal, ecclesial, creative, cultural, family relationships, financial, commercial. So here's all those same parts of my life. And then up here, it's got things I've got to do today, things I've got to do next, things that are scheduled on a regular basis, which means I can go in and say, I want to prepare the ecclesial announcements every Sunday for the ecclesia, or I want to go for your walk today. Did you notice that? With the words today in capital letters, saying this is something you really ought to do. Check oil and water so that I can amaze my wife that the car's been looked after. You see, even men can do this to systematise their life, otherwise they'd never get it done. So that's scheduled stuff. Then you've got the someday file, and I've just put a couple of things in here as an illustration. Remember, these are dreams, you see. So it could be that I've got under someday, investigate Persian gardens, plan a trip to Umbria and L'Aquila to research Italian villa construction. And then we've got projects. So I've got some active projects on display here, one of which is my Ecclesia, Heritage College Christchurch, a business that I'm involved in, the writing of a book on Abraham and Sarah, and in fact I might have a whole bunch of projects. Now the good thing about this system is that when we come up to the top here though, and I don't know whether you can see this, if I do this, yes there it is, do you see now at the top it's got at Apple on, at Apple off, Is it in the office? Is it in house? Is it in study? What else have I got? Is it in ecclesia? Is it by phone? Is there on errands? Is there a time estimate? I've also got one of those waiting on others folders. So the good thing about this system is it enables me to have something down here, for example, on communal ecclesial, but it might also be on the list by phone at the top. So I could click on communal ecclesial, and that now tells me everything I've got to do in ecclesial life, and at the moment I've got 46 active items needed in ecclesial matters that I've currently got to attend to. And if I went to phone, it'll tell me, within that context, it'll tell me everything I've got to do in terms of phone calls that relate to ecclesial matters. So it's cross-checked those two things. It's ecclesial, but it's phone calls. Or it could be ecclesial computer, ecclesial this, ecclesial correspondence, ecclesial whatever. So the benefit of something electronic is it enables me to cross-match like that. And if I go to my next file, down here, I must have done some work in the last few days because it says I'm down to only 197 items. So I've tipped below 200, which is absolutely amazing. So the point with this is that every day I can actually schedule what I'm going to do. Because I haven't done this for several days because I've been over here, if I click on today, at the moment it says I've got 48 items to do. And so I would need to actually go through and actually refocus, reschedule all those to actually create a system for today. So the idea behind that is that by running that electronically, I don't have to keep writing lists all the time, which I find a bit sort of difficult to do from a physical list point of view. So I still have those boxes that I would have for projects or tickler files. I think they're a good idea. But I run my next action lists electronically so that I can cross-match them to those different ways. So if I said I've got time and I want to make some phone calls in the truth, I can go to communal ecclesial phone calls, and now it cross-matches those and gives me the list of brothers and sisters I need to phone anywhere in the world right now on things. So, and that program, Things, was not only written elegantly by Germans, but it was written for Apple, which makes it a very, very elegant program indeed. And not only was it written for Apple and elegantly so, but also it works in terms of an iPhone app. So you can download Things onto iPhone and go, and I can sync it with my computer, put this in my pocket, go into town and think, click, where's my errands list? Got it. Bingo. Now look, I'm a reluctant techo, but to me that's quite helpful. So you might be a Microsoft person, I'm not really promoting Apple here, just that it's the best stuff, that's all. Which is why we put all the good Apple people on the front row. So look, I think that's me done in terms of that. These are things you need. Oh, well done. Yes, there's two Apples sitting open at the back as well. So hey, look at them all. So there you go. So look, the thing is, you've got to experiment with this. All I'm saying is, maybe as Christadelphians, and maybe as sisters, these are things that you can do to, in fact, increase your productivity so that your own personal spiritual goals can finally get time. And yet, you can still do everything else that's necessary for a household to run well, for a husband to be supported, for children to be nurtured, for an ecclesia to be contributed to, but for your own personal spiritual growth program to be attended to as well, because you've mastered some productivity tools to find the time to make all that happen. To me, that's a huge benefit if you could do that, don't you think? So, here endeth the lesson.